us in your computer. And if you do not make a daily update concerning your antivirus, what happens? New virus, because viruses are coming every day. Amen. The viruses of yesterday are less powerful as the virus of today. So the antivirus you had yesterday in your computer, by the time you log on to the internet again, there are more vicious virus that can destroy your computer. And if you thought, oh, I did it last year, when we traveled, we met with a bishop who had problem with his computer and had been working and working on it, because over there you have 24 hours internet service. So when you just open your computer, it locks onto a Wi-Fi and you are connected to a broadband network. And you know, his antivirus that he had on his computer was obsolete. You know, and I asked, and so many viruses came in. You know, it was a gateway, malware, so many things came in, Trojans and worms, and so his computer, his laptop was about shutting down. So I didn't know much about computer myself, but I told him, well, maybe the little knowledge I know can be of help. So he's a bishop from Nigeria here. And I said, oh, let me look at it. And when I scanned it, when I used an antivirus to scan it, it brought out about 350 viruses, apart from worms and Trojans. And I asked him, I said, Bishop, if you have 350 viruses in your body, do you think you'll be okay? And he said, what are you talking about? I said, that is what is happening to your computer. You need, but at that time, the viruses that came in into his computer are stronger than the antivirus he had, so they could not handle it. So when we tried to clean the viruses with his antivirus program, I said, okay, move them to chest. He said, failed. Delete, failed. Everything failed. And the computer was about shutting down, but thank God we were able to get another antivirus and everything was okay. Now what am I trying to say? He told me, he said, but Pastor, I before I left Nigeria, antivirus is there, no virus. And I said, you had an antivirus, but because over there in Nigeria, you were not connected to the internet, so there is no reason for virus to come in. But now you are exposed to the internet, then you are also exposed. The more you are exposed to blessing, the more you are exposed to curses. Every breakthrough leads to another breakdown. So if you're trusting God for a breakthrough, you also need to guard yourself for a breakdown. Because as the breakthrough comes, a breakdown comes. As the plan of salvation of God comes, then the plan of death for Jesus follows. You cannot have salvation, and you cannot have salvation without the cross. So if you're trusting God for the crown, you know that it has to be through the way of the cross. If you're trusting God to get to the palace of your life, you must know that before you get to the palace, you'll get to the pit. And after you get to the pit, you must also pass through the prison experience. Although the palace is ahead of you, but there are things that you must pass through as a matter of necessity, except you don't want to break even in life. So the same thing in our marriage, we need to renew our marriage. We need to renew our love. We need to renew our commitment. We need to renew most of this thing. We need to do that. The love you had for your spouse yesterday or 10 years ago was for 10 years ago. It will not last for now. And if it becomes stale, then you begin to see so many things you never saw in your husband, in your wife. Things that never mattered before, they begin to matter. You begin to observe that he snores too much. He sleeps too much. She doesn't take care of her head. She doesn't dress properly. She doesn't have to take care of the children. The living room is always dirty. And this is always this. And that is always that. The reason that happened is because the antivirus that is in your family that you were using the last time had become obsolete, and you have not updated it. So we need to update ourselves. We need to update our love life. We need to update our children. We need to update our families. We need to update so many things so that we can get ahead. We may want to ask ourselves, why didn't she love me the way she used to love me? Or why didn't I love her the way I used to love her before? There's a reason. Because there is something they call the lobe. The lobe is like the glasses or the magnifier that exposes some things. You know, that exposes some things to you. If that thing is gone, even if your wife is doing better good than she used to do before, if the magnifier is no longer there, you won't see it. If your husband is trying much more than he had ever been doing before, you know, but without that thing, if you are using the glasses, you never know. The last time when I went to the optician, I never wanted to. I'd been using glasses since I was in class 4 in the secondary school, and I knew I received the miracle, so I didn't want to use it again. But some few months ago, I discovered that I couldn't read some things very well. It was also always very difficult and stuff like that. So I had to go to an optician, and he just, when he did some tests, he just laughed. He said, you needed to have been using glasses some years back. I said, but no. He said, look, you better face it. He said, it's either you use it and continue with your life, or you don't and let your eyes depreciate. And by the time they recommended the glasses for me, and I had it, and I was using it to read, and I said, wow. So what I've been reading was clearer, you know, sharper, and better than this. But I thought it was good before. You never know what you are missing until you are exposed to your gains. So there are so many things you are missing with your, where that you are missing relationship with your family, with your wife. You are missing relationship with your husband because the low. You need to renew. You need to update your glasses. You know, some glasses sometimes they become weak. If you've been using it for some time, they become weak. Do you know that everything has expiry date? The medications you're using for your home, some of them have expired and you are still using it. The strategy you're using for your wife is an expired strategy, and if you continue to use an expired drug, it will kill you. So that is why the key you used to use for your husband before and it worked and everything had been fine, you are using it now and it's not working because it expired. How many of us know that even laptop expires? Our phones expires. Everything in life expires. Let me give you something. Someone was, when we were coming, the man that came to pick us at the airport, we're just talking generally, and he told us something that someone told him. He said someone had been living abroad, specifically in the U.S. for a long time. You know, U.S. is very huge. You can fly 9 hours within the United States. You can even drive 9 hours by car in the same state. So this man wanted to visit one of his friends up north. And you know, the roads are very good. The roads are extremely good. You can, as if you can drive with your eyes closed. But that is if you have life insurance, because you may end up in the mortuary at the end of the day. Amen. So he wanted to visit his friend up north, and it's about 11 hours drive. And that was fine. You know, it's fun. You know, there is no thick forest on the road. You know, it's just like you are. So he just got his map. He got his GPS and plot everything in the map and stuff like that. And guess what? The GPS is the global positioning system that connects you from point A, where you are, to point B, where you want to go. And it tells you how many minutes, what you are going to meet on the road. And so, and as you're driving, it talks to you and say, make a left this time. With 5 minutes away, you are going to turn to the left, you are going to turn to the right, you are going to do, and if you miss the road, it will tell you have missed the road, turn back, and it will tell you before you, and when you get to where you are going, it will tell you, this is where you are going, you can pull over, you know. So this man plotted everything, but number one thing I want to let you know was that the GPS, that the particular place we were staying, that a friend of ours, like an aunt that I've seen about 12 years ago, wanted to come and visit us. I'm still going back to that one, but I quickly want to give you an emphasis. She wanted to come and visit us from another town, so we gave her the address. And when you give someone the address, they don't need to know the place. You can't even know everywhere because it's so huge and the road network is so crazy. You can't say you know it. Some people have been living for 60 years in the same town and they don't know the road. You need the GPS or the map. So we told her, oh, we are in so-so place. I said, no, don't worry. She plotted it into the GPS from point A to point B. And she called back. She said, your address is not in the GPS. She said, the address you gave me is not in the GPS. My GPS cannot locate where you are. And I said, what do you mean? Of course, the GPS is GPS all over. And I remember that we actually used GPS to look for this land. We saw this church. We saw this building. We saw this. My wife, I called her. I said, "Come and see the church." We saw the. We even saw our house. We saw the people from there. If we had logged on to that when there was a service here, we would have seen Brother Kunle. We would have seen your cars. So there is no hiding place in the world again. The technology is so crazy that, in fact, you can look at someone. We actually saw someone climbing the pole in front of his house, right from the U.S. in Nigeria. We saw someone climbing the pole. My neighbor, we saw as the car was driving him from U.S. and they would not know anything. Now, if they could make that one available to the public, then what is available to the FBI and the security agents, you know that it's much more crazy than that. So the GPS could not locate the address. And she called me, and I went to my host. I said, "Excuse me, sir. Our visitor said they cannot locate your address in the GPS." And he said, "Oh no, they cannot locate it. They cannot locate it. They cannot locate it." I said, "But he wants to come and visit us." He said, "This place is a new area. They can build a house in 1 week. They can cut the bush, cut the tree, and build a house in 1 week. And you pack in, start Monday, and you pack in next Monday." And they said, "It's a new area. They just built it. It has not yet been fed into the GPS. If the GPS was 1 year old and this house is 6 months old, it cannot be in the GPS." Do you understand what I'm saying? So the man has an old GPS. And the old GPS does not detect new buildings and new areas. Do you understand? So let's go back to this friend, to this man that I'm talking about that wanted to visit his friend up north. He put everything in the GPS and everything was fine and he was driving. And he continued to drive, you know, but he now noticed that there was no vehicle coming, there was no vehicle going. His car was the only car in the massive highway. And he was looking, I don't care. And I was driving like about 11 hours. But he expected to see vehicles coming on the other side and vehicles coming after him or vehicles in front of him. He didn't see anything. And he became worried. I said, "Well, this is America." All of a sudden, he just had the siren of the police. Whoa, 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 whoa. Ah! And they overtook him. They pulled over by his side. One at this side, you know, those commando style things. And they said, and they came back with walkie-talkie and they were walking towards the man with gun, with everything. And they said, "Yes, Mr. Man." And he said, "Is there any problem?" And he said, "What? We want to know why you are walking on this road." He said, "I'm going to my friend." And they knew that he was sincere. And they relaxed. And I said, "But, excuse me, didn't you notice that you are the only one on this road?" He said, "Yes, but that doesn't bother me." They now looked at him and said, "Mr. Man, we are sorry. This road has expired." He said, "What? Road? This beautiful, good, smooth, express road. Expire what?" He said, "Can't you see that there's nobody?" He said, "It has been expired. It is expired and it has been officially closed. No vehicle must pass through." They said they detected his car through the radar, through the GPS, that there was a car that was going. He said, "You're going to kill yourself." He said, "Can you tell me how an expired road can kill me?" He said, "The road is just expired. That is it." He said, "Which road? This one?" He said, "Yes." He said, "You don't have to take it." He said, "I don't know what you are calling expired. But if this road is in my country, this road, my country, I don't know what to call expired, but just leave it. If it is at my own risk?" They said, "Well, if you say you want to continue to go on, you do it at your own risk." He said, "Risk? This road, risk?" He said, "If you don't know, I have passed through risky roads, and I know what risky road is. This does not look like a risky road. This is a good road. Good, wonderful." And you know, the police were laughing at him. You know, they know what he was talking about. They said, you know, something, you know. And he said, "But Mr. Man, you have to just turn back." He said, "Look, I have driven 5 hours to
to turn back to. They said they have constructed a new road. This one has expired. They have now built another wonderful road. Say, ah. And the man said, look, I can't turn back. Just leave me. They said, but you know, if your car breaks down, there is not going to be anyone to. He said, but now you know that I am here. If my car breaks down, I will call you. So what am I talking about? Everything in life has expiry date, including life itself. Your life has an expiry date. Even the earth that we are has an expiry date. One day this earth will expire. Everything will expire. But do you know that in Nigeria, we don't know that something expires? Do you know that shoe expires? They will write expiry date. There are some clothes that have expired. And if those clothes have expired, they will take it to some stores and sell it at cheap prices. And Nigerians will go there and say, look, clothes expire. This designer clothes has expired. Let me take it to my country. If you think this one has expired, you will know that it is a brand new thing in Nigeria. So, some of the medications we are using on our homes have expired. Parent, some strategies you are using on your children, they have expired. Do you know that in those days when we were growing up, if your parents are coming from their place of work on their car, and when you hear peeping peep, what happened? Everybody disappears into thin air. In those days, you cannot talk to your parents. You know, you can't talk to your parents. Your parents are talking and you are talking. Who born monkey? In those days, women, you know, some times ago, women's role in the home is subjugated. Even in the society is subjugated. Now we have women presidents. But some people are still dwelling in old strategies. Even some young couples here, you are still dwelling in the old strategy that you copied from your parents, which did not work for them. The same thing you are using to train up your children. And sometimes we do not know how to even show love to our children. We do not even know, if you don't know how to show love to your spouse, you cannot show love to your children. So, the grace of God is new every morning. It's grace, it's steadfastness, it's mercy. His mercy of yesterday does not sustain you today. So any day you don't pray, that is the day you have become a prey. Amen. So we just don't come to church because, oh, that man preached a wonderful message yesterday. We need to preach the same message over again and again and again and again. And that is why the message of the cross up to now, the message of Jesus, the message of salvation, it's still as simple as it was in that day. There is no modification. Amen. So, we need to look at our homes. There are some things that have expired in our homes. There are some strategies. There are some systems. There are some things that have actually expired in our homes, especially young couples. And listen to me, young couples. If you do not read, if you do not update yourself, if you do not update yourself, you will discover that you have become old while you are young. Someone came to our house yesterday and we were talking. And, you know, she's also widely traveled and we're talking. And the conclusion we arrived at is that, do you know that traveling is another form of education? No matter how well read you are, if you have not traveled out of your immediate environment, you are still illiterate in that sense. If all you know is Ibadan alone, you don't know about other culture, you cannot tolerate them. You cannot tolerate other culture. You don't know their way of life. You don't know anything. You don't know their cuisine. You don't know their food. I just told my wife yesterday, after a guest left, I said, why is it that everything you give to people that comes as a, what do they call it? As an entertainment, you know, to entertain them. Why is it that they don't eat it? I said, it's good we buy more of these things. So. And when she put those things in the plate, people just look at it. Which one is this? Just give me water. Because they can't, you know, And sometimes when you eat some other people's food, when you see, you feel like vomiting. The same way when other people see your own food too. How can somebody say Amala is not good? You look at that person and say, ah, Amala. Especially with Begiri. How can you say it's not? How can somebody in his right sense say those things are not good? When we got over there, we went to an African store because we knew that we were going to an all-white area where we cannot be able to. And we said, oh, let's buy some African stuff. Let's buy ogbono. You know, we were able to get ogbono and all those things, iru and all those things there. And as we wanted to buy palm oil, and somebody asked us, well, I don't know if I said that. Palm oil. You see, it's palm oil. Oh, palm oil. Vitamin A, vitamin K, vitamin B, vitamin A, vitamin F. He said, it's not good to eat palm oil. I said, whoever says palm oil is not good, I can curse that person. How will soup be soup if there's no palm oil? They say, in America, they don't eat palm oil. And vegetable oil. I say, you will soon die. If you don't eat vegetable oil, you don't eat palm oil. They said, it's olive oil. The olive oil left in there. About your, I don't know. You know, but when you look at it, how will somebody say palm oil is not good for God's sake? We bought it all the same, and when we got to our host, they are white people, and my wife said they have been feeding us with a lot of all this, and you know, we have been managing to eat it. You know, and sometimes I look at my wife's face. You know what I mean? Don't let me go further. So that it's not going to be a public. Have I said anything wrong? So you are my witnesses. So one day she just said, okay, you have been feeding us with all these things. Let us also give you our own food. And she cooked ogbono and eba. And these are white people. And take ogbono and eba. And as you were mixing the gari, how can someone be eating this one? And when the ogbono, and by that time I was smelling the aroma for the very first time in several weeks. And it is going to be great today. Jesus Christ is all. You know, sometimes when you see food, you receive more anointing. You know, I can see Brother Shegun's cheek coming out now. You know, the Lord has blessed him now. Can you see his cheek? He's just laughing and smiling and happy. Praise God. Have you observed that since Brother Kunle's wife is not there, you have gone to you there, see? You know, God will help you. By the time I began to hear the aroma of the ogbono, I was just happy in my spirit. You would think it's godly joy. It's food joy. It's food. Sometimes the way to the way man's heart is the way to, you know, and any woman that knows how to do those things, don't worry. Leave the man alone. Let him be angry. Let the aroma just be coming from. The man will be looking for style to reconcile. You know, all the styles. You are. Praise God. You know, you know what I'm talking about. So when the thing was ready, I could not wait. I even forgot what we have to pray. I totally forgot we had to pray. I just whim. And they were looking and said, oh my God! What's wrong with your God? What's wrong with you? I mean, this is how a good food should look like. And not all the intestine of toad and the frog, everything you have. Those things are terrible. Thank God for Amala. So they thought it was a poison. And I took some photograph. I took the photograph of some of their mouth like this. I said, and I wanted to tell them, that is how your whole food gone. That is how it looks to us. What is it gone? Praise God. Now what am I saying?
I've not even gotten to what I want to share with us. So I'm just giving us preamble. You know, sometimes when you are too full, by the time you are just taking a little bit, you have not gotten to the real, you know, to the real thing. Amen. So, but do we know? Let's go back. Let's stop that. I'm not talking on that one again. Some people can hardly look. They are just laughing and smiling. So, let's talk about the expiry. We must recognize the fact that everything has an expiry date, including your dresses. Some of us, the type of shoe that is in our wardrobe, the type of clothes, everything has expired. Some of us, we are near expiry date. Because we have refused to update. Do you know the problem with Africa? The problem we have, and when I say we have, I mean you especially, is that the curriculum that Awolowo and Azikiwe in those days, 1960s, that one is even good. The curriculum that the British, they gave us during independence, is what we are still following. Amen. There's no update. A brother left Nigeria. He was a medical student here. During the strike, he had to relocate to London, and he enrolled in a school, and he was studying pharmacy. And you know, Nigerians are very brilliant, because when you study under a very hard condition, lantern and petrol and these are, you know, every, and you know, you are suddenly exposed to 24 hours of lightning. You are exposed as you are reading, you are taking tea, you are taking, you know, juice. How will you not sink? If you have been reading under stupendous atmosphere, and now you are now reading under a very, you will pass. It's not because you are not brilliant. It's because if you suddenly now you have a better environment, you will do better. And that's why we have to pray that something must happen. Something must change. Our circumstances must change. Our situation must change. Some of you, see, your wife is more beautiful than what you think she is, though. Expose her with a little thing, and it has to be a deliberate thing. Go to the market and buy her something, and don't spoil her. I'm not saying you should damage her. When I say spoil her, you know what I mean. Don't damage her. You know, buy your husband something, and I mean, you will discover that you can do an overhaul. A rickety vehicle. By the time you spend some money on that rickety vehicle, if that money does not kill you, then you see there's going to be a change. And this brother was studying pharmacy, and he was in a class one day, and every time the lecturer comes to ask question, this guy's hand is always up. Before you say, okay, can somebody say, he raises up his hand and begins to flow. Well, according to so-so-so-so-so that was released in so-so-so-so-so, and they are just clapping. Say, where is this man from Nigeria coming from? And most Africans in school, they are brilliant. They are well above their peers. Africans and Asians, they are extremely brilliant above their peers. You understand what I mean? So, this guy, and don't forget that he was a medical student before the strike, you know, he had to relocate to London. He was now studying pharmacy, which he thought was a little bit lower than the course he was studying before. So he was just giving them stuff. And the guy became a champion. Became a local champion. Everybody come to him and say, what do you, you know, he will flow, he will talk to them, you know. And one day, one of the lecturers came, you know, and he was proving something on the board, explaining something on the electronic board, and said this. And the guy raised up his hand and said, excuse me, sir, I have an objection. He said, okay, what's your objection? He said, the guy began to give him stuff, and people were just clapping. You know, the students were just clapping. They said, even if this guy was our lecturer, we would do better. I mean, and the lecturer was just looking. And the guy was there, and the man would tell him, do you understand what I mean? The lecturer would not decide. He said, continue. And the guy became so confident. He was just, you know, I mean, he would refer to books. And people were just clapping and say, oh my God. So, after a time, the guy sat down. And the lecturer was just looking at him. And the other students were still clapping. They were hugging him, shaking his hand, you know, and it was feeling good. And the lecturer said, you are wrong. And he rose up again.
Sir, with all the evidences that I have given to you, there is no way I can be wrong. As a matter of fact, author King, in his book, 7th edition, he quoted in the 48th page that according to the law of this and that, and people started clapping again. They started clapping again. And the more they clapped, the more his head was swelling. And the man continued to look at him. After the guy finished, he told him, "You are wrong." He stood up again, quoted some things, and quoted and quoted and said, he said, and the man said, "What is your authority? What book are you?" And the man quoted, he mentioned the name of the book that was written in so by Arthur Anderson. It was published by Zondervan in year 1971. And the man looked at him again and said, "You are wrong." And people were confused. Somebody must be wrong here. Somebody must be wrong. Two of them seemed to know what they were talking about. And the man said, "Who was the author of that book?" He mentioned the name of that author. And said, "What year was it published?" He mentioned the year. And the man said, "I am the author. And I have written two more editions after the one you have quoted. The one you quoted was obsolete.
Expired."
And the boy, for the first time, was deflated. And he began to scratch his head. And he said, "I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, sir." Now, what are we talking about? The guy was right. But there had been update, a revision to the edition. And the man that was standing in front of him was the author of the book that he was. And he didn't know the man was even the author. So you are the author. "I'm sorry, sir." "I'm sorry, sir." You know what I'm talking about? It's just like when we meet with Jesus. "In your name we heal the sick. In your name, oh my goodness, God, you really enabled us." "I'm sorry, I don't know you." "Excuse me, you know us now." "You remember the people that gave their life to you. Maybe they gave their life to you, not to me." So what I'm saying, there is an expiry for everything. The system you may be using may have expired. If the road, and the man continued, the other man I was talking about continuing that road, you know, thank God nothing happened, but he said it was ringing in his brain. How can a road expire? Is this our main road? Has it expired or not? It does not even exist. Because this is not how a good road looks like. So there is no question of whether it expired or it does not expire. Maybe some things we are using in our home has expired. Maybe some strategies. Maybe the way you used to relate to your wife in those days, and all our defenses will be gone. Maybe that strategy has expired. You know she's growing. You think she's still a baby. Maybe she was 21 years old then. You buy her chocolate and she'll be chuckling. Chocolate makes people chuckle. And now she needs more than chocolate. And you say, but it was chocolate before now. Or maybe it was flour. When she sees flour, in those days, maybe it was cards. At the time you write some beautiful poetic words in the cards. You know, international cards of those days. "You are the only mosquito that has refused..." But now maybe during our call, she has read something about mosquito. And that word mosquito get her crazy. And you are still using mosquito. "You are the only mosquito." "Oh, God, don't even mention it." But in those days, when I mention mosquito, you are always... Maybe in those days, when you buy clothes or when you buy a shoe, maybe in those days, when you buy all this for your husband, he will appreciate it. In those days, maybe when you cook ogbono with palm oil. But now, your husband has just learned that palm oil is not good. And when you receive your salary, it was palm oil you went to go and buy. And you use it to cook for him. And as you are cooking, maybe his mother was even a palm oil seller.
I remember sometimes when I tell my children some stories, they don't believe. I remember I was telling them sometimes that I use hot palm oil to eat rice. And they say, palm oil, oh, rice. I say, it's the sweetest thing I've ever tasted in my life. You know, when you are poor and you are passing through some poverty, every food you eat will be sweet too. Praise God. So you need to look for an update to your spouse's love life. And I'm going to be sharing some things with us. Do we still have time? No, we don't have time again. Even if we don't share anything again, what we have shared is good enough. Praise God. Okay, I've told us that there's always an expiry for everything. I want you to ask yourself, what am I doing now? Or I want you to ask your wife, what am I doing now? Somebody told me sometimes ago that each time her husband speaks in the public, she doesn't like to be there. Listen to this. Say she doesn't like to be there. She said because of the way he speaks. But ironically, it was the way he used to speak that attracted her to him. But now she has gotten so used to the way the man speaks, she doesn't want to listen to it again. Then talk to him about it. Nobody needs to change the way he speaks. Some women are attracted to their husband because of the way the man dresses. The man is always on t-shirts, jeans, and high top shoe with face cap, and he looks very young, always young. But now the only thing the man knows how to wear is buba and soro. And the woman will look at him that, is this the man I married? Is that young boy? Maybe I'm talking to somebody. You need to update. We need to update ourselves. Praise God. A man that married a very fashionable woman. Very fashionable. Even the way she walks. Ika, ego. She never said, but my loss of you. And anytime the man sees her, he says, oh my God. And it was because of that the man received her. God, give me Sister Kendi. Oh Lord of heaven. Do this. Tear the heaven for my sake. And now the Lord tore the heaven. And everything is, you now married her. And this woman went to a program one day. Hellfire! Come from today, today. And the woman changes. And it's now Bendam Boutique. Yamtere. You know Yamtere stores? Yamtere. Yamtere. And the woman no longer goes to Sister Sarah to sew fashion cut. We are going to heaven now. We will have Roma cut and sew. We are going to heaven, is our home. And by the time she bends down at gate, when she rises up, and when she gets home, from Ika, Iko, Lobadikini. Mango too. Praise God. You know, and at first the man would just be, you know, the man received her because of, it's not because she was, she used to dress in a, she was, you know, but now, you know, there is a type of cap that some people wear, you know what I'm talking about. And this time the woman, and these are life issues. It may not be applicable to you, but it's applicable to someone. Now, what am I saying? Listen to me. It is either the man also gets the same conviction of the spirit, and they are in the same place. Otherwise. Amen. So we need to update ourselves. You need to update the way you see. Update your eyes. Update your eyes. Genesis chapter 2 verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Matthew chapter 19 from verse 5 to verse 6. For this reason shall a man leave his father and his mother, and they twain shall be one flesh. And whatsoever God has put together, let no man put asunder. Romans chapter 7 verse 2. Paraphrasing. Can somebody read Romans chapter 7 verse 2? Let another person read Ephesians chapter 5 verse 28. Quickly. Fast readers. Yep. Is bound by the law to our husband so long as he liveth. She is loose from the law of our husband. Ephesians 5 28. So ought men to love their wife as their own blood. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now, what are we talking about? The first law of update that we have to observe is the law of cleaving. Let someone say cleave. You have to learn to cleave. And there are, when you cleave, you must understand some parameters that are associated with cleaving. Till death do you part. You don't cleave with one hand, with one leg, and the other, another leg is outside, so that when the cleaving is no longer possible, you back out. You know what does it mean to cleave? Elijah the prophet, was it Elijah or Elisha? When a general, General Naaman of the Syrian army, went to Elijah. Was it Elijah? I think it was Elisha. Elijah? Elisha. Elijah, Elisha. Well, and the man, the prophet will not receive any gift from the man. He will not receive any gift because the man, the general was healed. And the general thought he owed the man of God a duty to give him some gift. But the prophet said, no, I don't need a gift. But there was a prophet, there was a servant of the prophet by the name of Gehazi, who was a covetous man. And he went at the back to go to this Naaman and said, my master the prophet asked me to receive those gifts from you. And Naaman generously gave Gehazi the changes of clothes. And by the time Gehazi got back home, his master the prophet called him and said, where have you been? He said, I've not been anywhere. And the man of God said, wasn't my eyes following you? Didn't I see you? This is what you did. This is what you did. This is what you did. Because you did that. And what was the what did the prophet say? The leprosy of Naaman shall cleave unto thee until the day of your death. and not only on you, but on your generations. Amen. That is the example of cleaving. When leprosy cleaves on someone, it becomes an outcast. And when a man cleaves on a woman, it is till death do them apart. And that is why Jesus Christ said, what God has joined together, what God has cleaved together, let no man put asunder. Now, if God has cleaved you together, it is for better and for worse. Some other issues come in which threatens the cleaving. It's only a threat. If something threatens your existence, what do you do to that thing? If you have an health condition that threatens your existence, what do you do to that thing? Do you just leave it and say, well, I'm sorry, if you want to kill me, you just have to kill me. I can't do anything more than what I'm doing. I've tried enough. If I must die, let me die. Even a drowning man will struggle to survive. Then how come when we have challenges with cleaving in our homes, with our family, with our children, with our wife, with our husband, why is it that the next thing we do is that if this thing cannot work, then I'm going out? Why can't you say, if this medication that the doctors give me concerning the cancer, concerning that, if it doesn't work, then I just want to die? Why can't you say, oh, if this headache will not go, I will just go to somebody, maybe a butcher at Bodija Market, we just cut the head off, and what's my business? I can't allow one stupid head to just be paining me. I use medication, it's not going. I will just cut it off and continue my life. Isn't that an example of a stupid man? Oh, even if this is my body, if it does not, then I'm going to cut my body off. I can survive with head alone. After all, the senses are in the head. I'll just be going on my own. That's the example of what we do when we do not have, when we have challenges in our homes, when we have challenges about cleaving, and what we think about is separation. It's just going. It's just leaving. If what Jesus, God said was that, I don't know what's wrong with you stupid people of the earth. I've sent my son Jesus. He died. You killed him and you still will not come to me. If you must perish, go and perish. He didn't do that. Why didn't he do that? Because we are the works of his hands. And nobody watches the works of his hands being destroyed without putting up a fight. You got to put up a fight. If anything comes between your own that wants to separate the cleaving, you've got to put up a fight, even if it costs you the last drop of your blood. And that's exactly what Jesus did. God gave up his only son. There must be something so precious you're willing to give away for the cleaving to stand forever. Don't you think that cleaving is easy? Sometimes it can take 15 years of marriage for the cleaving to actually agree. I usually tell people, I ask them, how long have you been married? So 5 years. Well, you are together, but you don't know what is called marriage yet. Marriage starts at 15 years. By that time, you'll have known all about the man and all about the woman. And by that time, it's too late. 10 years, well, thank God for your life. Amen. Cleaving is about separating. They used to say that it is difficult for a man to pull out his mustache. Is it not difficult? A man to just look at you. Can we have some men to try that here? Even for millions of naira. Some people are already trying it. Amen. It's difficult. But what about if some health issues threaten to remove it? You know, sometimes we have some men have some health issues that threatens to remove their hair. I have some friend that their head is everything. There is nothing on their head again. Do you think they like it? You don't like it. You just wake up one day and somebody tells you, I remember the first day I told my dad, I said, Daddy, in the middle of your head, it's like, where? Give me up. Well, what else can you do? Suddenly, you just discover that one by one, you look at the mirror. Oh God, have mercy on me. What can you do? Nothing. Now you see men, after they have tried all creams. This cream, if you put it morning, afternoon, evening, your hair will grow back. The more they put the air, the more the cream, the more the hair goes. And they give up. Amen. But you don't give up without a fight. Whatever will kill you, let it not kill you just like that. Only ajatuba majamo leyin ekun. I mean, praise God. Now, what are we saying? There is a cleaving that you have to understand that is a law. And you must stand to the cleaving that nothing must, should, and can separate. Paul said, what can separate us from the love of Christ? Is it this? Is it that? Is it that? Now let's turn it over and say, what can separate me from the love of my husband? Is it family? Is it poverty? Is it snoring? Is it pressing the toothpaste from the wrong side? Is it lack of job? Is it lack of speaking correct English? You know, some women, they say, I don't know, this guy can't speak English. Some people got married on the internet. And this man will write, he will lift up some poems from several places in the internet, and the lady will say, oh, this man writes beautifully. They say, I love this poem. And they flew in America. They flew and they met themselves. And this lady was a student of poetry. You know. And this man, all the poem that this man used to give her, they are professional ones that she studied and said, this guy is even better than I am. And you know, in America, you can see a lady in the morning and you get married in the evening. Internet marriage. And after they got married, the lady just began to ask her, those poems you sent to me, now what about the unseen prose, the onomatopoe and the oxymoron that were embedded? Is that the name of a person? I mean the ones you posted to me, I was actually using it for my final thesis. Say what? I mean, you're been deceiving me. I'm done. The next day, divorced. Amen. You must learn to cleave. If suddenly you discover that your husband is not who you think he is, or she is not who you think she is, or her family is not who they have presented, I think, you just learn to cleave. Learn to cleave. And cleaving means living. Can someone say cleaving means living? Living where you're coming from to cleave to where you are going. Do you know the reason why many cannot cleave? Because of where they are coming from. When I was in my father's house, we don't used to do it this way. In my family, this is how we used to do it. Which family? You have to leave that family. In our tradition. Which tradition? In our culture. In our this. If you don't leave where you're coming from, you cannot get to where you're going. You've got to cleave. You've got to forget about this is just the way I am. You just have to accept me the way I am. It's no longer the way you are. You are no longer the owner of your body. Your spouse is the owner of your body. Tremendo. Praise God. time is gone. Give me 5 more minutes. I'm going to close so that we can do some other things. So in the passages we read, we have seen out cleaving. See, you have to expire from where you're coming from. Then you have to be inspired to where you're going. You have to expire. Your traditions, your friend. You see, it is not, this is what my friend used to tell me. It's no longer your friend. This is now your only friend. Even when we are passing through challenges, please let us learn to cleave. Learn to cleave to yourself. Learn to see that person as the person for you. Whether it is, do you know that there are sometimes one suddenly realizes the fact that he or she has made a mistake in marriage. Do you believe what I'm saying? You just discover that I think I made a mistake. How many people have felt like that? I know I won't see any hand up. If you dare raise up your hand with your spouse by your side, you are in trouble when you get home. You better don't raise that hand up. Huh? Yeah. So you thought you made a mistake marrying me. What did you about daily? Praise God. Yes, it appears as if sometimes we just suddenly discover that I have made a mistake marrying this man or marrying this woman. But do you know the truth? There is no mistake with God. There's no mistake with God. You have married the person God wants you to marry. But this is not my vision. It's not about your vision. It's not about your thoughts. It's not about your fantasy. And that is why if you have read so many romance novels, you have read so many, you have watched so many films, and that's why I don't like most of those character films, those guys that do film. It's a lie. All these Ramsey Noah that lose lover boy. They are wicked people. Not this will go, is only lover boys. My dear, come. It's a lie. If all the films you have been watching are romance films and all those things, by the time you get to reality, amen. Learn to break away from everything. Do not look, some people take the advice of their friends. Some people are, I want to buy clothes, and I told my husband, this is how much the clothes is, and he said he does not have the money, but how? Please. It must be you alone. Let me quickly go on. So many things I want to share with you on that. But let me quickly go to, we said you have to leave to cleave. Then there is no, when you cleave, what happens then? You leave this one, and you just cleave. Is it just, you just cleave? Talk now. You two talk. Communication. You have to be able to communicate. They say evil communication does what? Corrupt good manners. What about good communication? What about good communication? See, the first thing in marriage is communication. Whether bad one, but just communicate. Communicate your frustrations and your commendations and your observations. But do that without passing any judgment. Sometimes you think accusation is communication. Accusation is accusation. It's not communication. Sometimes you think you are letting your partner to know something, but you are not letting him know. You are not letting her know. You are just accusing him. You are just accusing her. You are telling him how stupid he is. You are measuring him with your father. He's not doing something the way your father used to do it. He's not doing it the way your father used to do it because he's not your father. But you want to see your father figure in your husband. He doesn't shave the way your father shaves. He doesn't have his hairstyle. He doesn't use the lotion. He doesn't use the dress. He doesn't use to wear a tie. He doesn't use to do this. And that is what we have been used to. Do you know that common ironing of clothes, when a wife irons the husband's clothes and the creases are, instead of them to be in the middle and they're a little bit there off, and you have two ghetto you have two ghettos. One is coming from here, and by the time it gets to the middle, and maybe the woman says, this man,
And by the time she wants to rectify it, she comes back. She updates. And the man is an executive director. It's a banker. Everything must be. And by the time he wears it, he says, no. Now, the man responds out of frustration. The first response is, how can you? How can you? But the woman has done her best. The woman does not even know what it is. See, maybe there are two guitars. Is even better than one. And the man, you know, because of ghetto, the man can think that I think I've married the wrong wife. Just because of ghettos. Praise God. And the wife is used to her parents, the father used to wash mother's, undies and stuff like that. And the husband will not even get near him. They're making it won't be. And the woman, I think I've married the wrong husband, no. Just because of that. You see, it is little thing that creates problem in home. It's not big things. It's little thing. Go and ask. Go and ask. The issue about the toothpaste. You know, so many homes have been broken because of toothpaste. I want Dabur. I want Close Up. I want McLean. You press it in the middle, you have to press it from the bottom. I mean. Amen. Please, communication. Do you know what is called communication? Communication is not accusation. When you want to communicate, don't accuse. Amen. Let me quickly go. Let me look at the one more point and we will close. Let me pick one more. Let me pick communion. Communion. Communion means just having time, spending time together. Listen to this. You are both working class and you leave home very early in the morning. And by the time you come back home in the evening, you are both tired. But the woman is still expected to do some things. You know how it goes. I remember when we were, my wife and I, when we traveled, and over there, the man will have to stand up, pick all the dishes, and wash the dishes. And sometimes we watch as the father will pick the children's dishes, and the children will even say, "Dad, you have not picked my plate." And dad will say, "I'm sorry." And the dad will pick the dishes, and we go and wash. And when we went to another place, and I was watching my wife. Look, although we are in America, we are Nigerians, so. And after we finished eating, I was watching her. "Won't you pick my plate?" I said, "I will pick it now." I said, "Hold on, you eh." Praise God. And that is why, please, I tell people, I told somebody one bitter truth, and I'm sure the person will may not like me forever. It's the truth, but it's bitter. Husband, if you know that you are going at a pace, pace, if you do not bring your wife along, you are destroying yourself. Amen. The same thing with the husband. If two of you, if you don't see the same thing, you will fight and beat nonsense out of yourself. You will fight by word. You will fight by everything. A man who is a carpenter, believing God to marry a medical doctor, there is nothing God cannot do. Do you agree with me? They can even get married. Do you agree with me? It's not because they won't love themselves. They see different things. That is just the only reason. They see different things. The way the woman who is a medical doctor thinks is different from the way this man thinks. While the woman is thinking of how
She's going to read some things on the internet so that she can know. All the man is thinking about is the hammer and the 6-inch nails that she's going to push to that bed, that stick, that thing that was refused to work. How are you going to use the hammer? Bam! It's different. And the woman is high up, and the woman says, where is the 6-inch nail? I ask you to drop her. What stupid with this man? Leave me no 6 inches. Ah, the way they think is different. It's completely different. When a man who is from a village goes to New York to marry a white American, there's going to be challenges, but nothing that cannot be managed. But the way to manage it is to have communion together. Please have communion. There is time differences. Do you know that it's even possible that if the man is a carpenter and the woman is a medical doctor, the woman can get the man to assist her in some. The man may begin to know some things about even medical doctor. Medicine. And the woman can also know the difference between a 4-inch nail and 6-inch nail where there is communion. But in the area where you are both poles apart, all the woman wants to do is to read. All the man wants to do is to watch African magic and watch. They are poles apart. Please always have a communion, a time together where you will be able to invoke some things that are inside of you both. Without communion, why do you think God was having communion with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day? Why do you think God was having communion with them? It's so that there can be blending, there can be familiarity. They can know about God, and God can know about their needs. That time, what is your need? It is in the place of communion you get to know a lot of things. There are so many unspoken needs in the life of both man and woman. The only way you can get them is at the place of communion. Do you know that when we commune with God, we may not even ask God anything? I love you. In the way as you are loving God, He knows your needs. But if you do not have communion with God, there is no way God is interested in communing with us. We are gathered together on a Sunday like this, aren't we? Do you know the Holy Spirit is here? Say amen if you believe that. Now, if the Holy Spirit is not here, then we have no business gathering here. The reason why we are gathered is because of the Holy Spirit. And if He comes, what do you think the Holy Spirit is coming to do? It's to have communion with us. Fellowship. Now, when a husband and wife do not have communion, they don't hate themselves, but they will begin to be, the more you don't have communion, both, there will be a gulf of separation between you. When God came down to Adam and Eve to have communion with them in the cool of the day, and Adam was not there, the gulf was widening and widening and widening. Do you have communion with your spouse? Look at your time, the timetable for the day. When I'm talking of communion, I'm not talking of when you're just together. I'm talking of the time you have to sit together and just relax together. It may be in the kitchen. As the woman is busy running from this place, opening the fridge, going to the store, washing this or washing that, the man goes into the sitting room, cross his leg with a big newspaper talking about lies and the football, and the 11 people running after an inflated leather, and they will not give him a cobble out of it. And all the man is doing, hey, here goes, here goes. Okocha, come on. The time they are supposed to use for communion, a time of blending, is being wasted away. What is wrong in a husband? You may not even do anything if you don't feel like doing anything. What is wrong with staying in the kitchen and talking about your day? God wants to come down to ask us, my son, what about the day? And that is the reason why the Holy Spirit is here, is to have communion with us. It's so that we can tell Him we love Him. Hello? And so that He can also show His love to us. The place of communion, hello, are you listening to me? The place of communion for husband and wife is not on the bed. It's a place for another thing. communion is not on the bed. Amen. Some people have thought that after all, every night we collapse on the bed, 8 o'clock. Communion is having, spending time together. Going out together in the same car. You have 3 cars, you have 4 cars. Decide not to go there on different car. Go on the same car so that you can discuss. And when you come together, don't just tighten your mouth. There must be communication. Let it flow. Do you know, just mere being together alone, you are having communion with yourselves. If God could have abandoned Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. After all, I mean, it's a beautiful garden. What else do you need? And that's why I pity some men. They think all what a woman needs is just when you give her money. You give her pocket money. You give her a beautiful home. You buy her a nice car. You take care of her family. You send her abroad. And that is all the woman needs. That's not all the woman needs. The woman can tell you, may you perish with all those things. It's not things I need. It is you I need. Amen. A man that does not give himself to his family will lose his family one day. How many times do you spend with your children? I remember when we were having children, I enjoy, you know, strapping them at my back, dancing around, singing for them, you know, composing. I still have the songs I used to compose for each of them. I still sing it for them. For every one of them, I used to have a composition. And even as they are grown up, sometimes I remember and I begin to sing that song. How many times have you taken your baby from your wife except the woman is saying, as she's strapping the baby at the back, she's also busy at the kitchen. The Pepe is doing his own. Nepa is doing his own. Baby doing, you know what you are doing? Where is the food, okay? And yet you came together. And the woman is confused. And in the way, she's running around, she's crazy. And by the time it is night, the man knows how to yokelekele, and it begins with strategy. And when the woman by 7 p.m. begins to notice some, you know what I mean? Hallelujah, Jari. Please create time of communion. A time you just flow. Ask about the place of work. Ask about this. Ask, you know, God, if God can have communion with us, if He can come down in the cool of the day, you too come down from your place of work. Oh! My dear, you say, me already ready. And my 89. Amen. Create time for your family. Create the time. There will be no time, but create it. Time you speak together, you play together, you game together, you do everything together. Just communion. Nothing serious. You don't have to be serious. It doesn't have to be formal. Just flow. I'm going to stop here. Still have some other points. But I believe the Lord has... in the communication, I forgot to tell you that. Please, let us learn to appreciate whatever your spouse does. Even when you get home and you discover that she has fixed the curtain, please make a comment. Pass a good comment for that matter. From here, that is the bad comment. You can say the same thing in a different way. Wow, who fixed this thing? And you see the woman, even it may be ugly, the man will just say, wow, this is beautiful. I'm not asking us to tell lies, but I'm asking us to just appreciate. everything a woman does is an effort. It's an effort. Please, appreciate it. Talk about it. Pass a comment, a good comment. Even if it is not good enough. If your wife is laboring, please appreciate her labor. Do you know what a woman hates most? It's a man that does not appreciate, a man that will not say thank you, a man that will not appreciate, a man that has no contribution, has no focus, has no plan, and when the woman does something, he will not even pass a comment. Even good food, the only time we make comment is till your bag rice here. That was the only time we make comment. If the food is sweet, say it. Even if it's not sweet, don't quote me. Don't say I'm the one that asked you to say if it's not sweet. Oh, I'm saying something else. Oh, if you say when it's not sweet, oh, Jemma, let me know. Amen. Please update. I've been talking to us about update, and I believe that it's time for us to begin to update ourselves. And when you update yourself, when you are flying on the airplane, they will tell you that in case of disaster, in case the plane gets into the water, or there is a disaster in the plane, put something, the gas, put it in your mouth. They will ask you, first put it in your mouth before you put it in the mouth of your child or of your spouse. But you must do your own first. Update yourself first. Then you must also update your wife, update your husband. If you are a high flyer academically, you must update your spouse. If you don't update your spouse, you are doing your PhD. And your spouse has not even passed the school cert. You are killing yourself. Life is about an update. As you move, she moves. As she moves, you move. Let's bow down our hearts and just talk to the Lord. I pray that the Lord will use these words to give more our grace into our homes in Jesus' name. I want you to speak to the Lord. If there are some ways in your home that you know you need an update on, maybe it's in the area of communion, or maybe it's in the area of communication. Maybe you are not totally cleaved. You are not yet completely cleaved onto your spouse. You still run to your family for advice. You still run to your husband. I mean, you still run to your friends. You still run to your brothers and sisters. I want you to tell the Lord to give you the grace to completely cleave. If your home is, you know that your home is running through some difficult challenges, I want you to ask the Lord to give you these things: the cleaving, the communion, and the communication. Father, we ask this morning that you will help us, Lord, that we will not be hearers of this word alone, we will be doers of the word. Father, we ask, Lord, as many homes that are hurting right now, as many homes that are passing